You're listening to English for Everyone. Tweet us and follow us on Instagram at EU Radio English. And find us on Facebook, EU Radio Nantes English.
101.3 FM.
Hello everyone, I'm very excited to be joined today in this little studio here with Anis Elwi, Dufan Dwyfor. That was it?
That's good.
Thank
good.
You. Mark Lewis-Jones, who were the three main characters in the Welsh language film from last year called The Passing, which is, of course, the English name for it. And I will now ask one of you to say the name in Welsh, if possible.
Ramadawied.
Perfect. Thank you. There we go. Wonderful. Thank you very much. The film is a visually stunning piece of cinema with an incredibly intriguing narrative. I have here a very short and simplistic blurb for the film. Two young lovers crash their car into a ravine in the remote mountains of Wales and wake up in a world untouched by time. We're going to talk about the film, its themes, as there are several, as well as the presence of Welsh language films within the world of cinema. So guys, first of all, how are you all doing?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, lovely day in Nantes.
Yeah, it's a good place, as we were just talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
None of us have been here before. It's nice, isn't it?
Very nice.
It's stunning. So I saw the film this morning, as I was mentioning before. I didn't come into work, I stayed in bed, quite hungover, and with a cold, and watched it. And it is amazing. I'd like to start with the tone of the film. It's got its horror traits, and it's been categorized by, you know, as a horror film. But how would you guys describe the tone of the film to those who hadn't seen it before?
Well, I think it has been categorized as a horror film, and I think that's probably its nearest place, but it doesn't sit that comfortably in horror, actually. It's more suspense, I would say. And as you said, visually, it's a feast, really. It's fantastic, isn't it? It looks amazing. But it's difficult to put this film into any particular genre. I think that's just the nearest one they've put it in. And it opened in a horror film festival in Texas. It had its world premiere there. And so since then, it's remained in that category. However, it's got a lot of broader issues than regular horror, if you see what I mean. It's kind of got many layers to it. But it's lovely that it's in Nantes. And fantastic that it's in this festival.
Definitely.
Hopefully, people will enjoy it, you know. It's good.
But that's the thing about, like, it being classed. I mean, obviously you say it can now be classed as a horror film, but, like, watching it, going into it, thinking that it's a horror film, you kind of might miss some other things. I mean, there are only, in terms if you were going to pick up on, like, obvious horror traits, like, there are a few things that happen that might be associated to a horror film, but there are much larger things kind of going on in the film than just that.
Yeah.
Like, for example, there's the mirror thing.
Yeah.
When you move the mirror and you see something behind you and you shit yourself.
Yeah.
Let's talk more about the sort of setting of the film. It's massively contained and isolated, of course. The setting is only like one house in the valleys. It's the only location we see, and you three are pretty much the only people we see. In fact, it's largely the only people we see throughout the film. What was it like filming in this way, and to what effect does it push the kind of tone of the film?
It was just a unique experience to film like that, because, you know, it was us three every day in that set, and it was a house in the middle of nowhere.
No signal, no Wi-Fi.
None of that, was it?
It is exactly what it seems on the film, and I think it had a really good effect on us as well to have only three actors in a film. And we were each other's company for the whole time.
Yeah.
And you did have those oppressive mountains, but it was beautiful. And so you do form this weird relationship with the place. And it felt like we'd been there forever, even though it was quite a short amount of time. And I can remember everything about the place so clearly. I think, you know, it's just quite a powerful place to be in.
Yeah, it's really cool. It must have actually been quite scary to be there as well.
It was amazing. It was lovely.
And that house is like a character in itself. I mean, it was an amazing find, I think, that house. Because that house is what you saw this morning in your bed. The house is more or less what it was and what it still is.
Yeah.
You know, they did very little with it. It actually just looks like that.
Yeah.
It was a great find. And its location, you know, made it... Because there were times when it looked a bit like the hotel in Psycho, you know, when you look down looking up at it, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely got his own character in that way.
They spent quite a long time looking for it, because it is the only location, really. You know, everything takes place around the house,
But wasn't there a young couple going to do the house up as well, and they managed to kind of delay it until after the film, didn't they?
Yeah.
That was quite lucky as well. Yeah.
Well, it is just trapped in time. Like, it looks like it's trapped in time as it kind of appears in the film.
I wish we could have like spent 3 weeks there and then filmed it.
Gosh, because you,
Do you know what I mean? Would have gone like rather than slowly getting used to it.
Another cool thing about the film is that throughout, especially in the first hour, it's very hard to tell who is, you know, the bad guy or who is the person that is like the one that you kind of, because there's only three people. It's like a game of Cluedo or something. Mm-hmm. It's like every character kind of presents reasons for you to be dubious or fearful towards every single one. Yeah. And it's just quite cool, like during the first hour of that. What was it kind of like playing these characters in particular for you all?
I found that point really interesting because I never thought about it when we were doing it. But everyone seemed to say, "Oh, I thought you were going to be really mean," or, you know, "I thought all of you." Mm. But that just never crossed our minds when you do, because you're just doing the scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think they're all really wonderful parts, and we got to, because there was only three of us, we all had a lot of time to play with them and to settle with them, and to mould them into something that we all felt comfortable with. Mm-hmm. It was a joy. Yeah.
I'm glad though that that is the case.
Yeah.
That people don't know who, you know, who the kind of bad guy is, you know, or where they're really at, you know, that there is that quality of unknowing about it, you know.
Well, definitely, yeah, because it's like, especially at the beginning, everyone has their own reason for you to be fearful.
Yeah.
You know, for example, like Stanley's character, the fact that he lives alone in a house and he does all this weird, like, the routine shit every day. Onto the sort of visual themes of the film as well. One of the things that is massively prevalent in the film is the whole like theme of water. Yeah. Like, you know, water's everywhere.
Mm.
And without giving too much away, I'd like to sort of shed a light on that as a theme used in the film.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there are overtones. There's political overtones as well, as being there be this element that, you know, the film uses elements to tell the story as well as there being, you know, historical things. Not that there's any political message or taking a political stance, but things happened in Wales that include water.
Yeah.
And certainly that is being influenced, you know, that takes a bit of influence from that.
Yeah.
Happening, but in terms of the water is a huge thing, as is the well, you know, the well.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think Ed Talvan, who wrote it, had any particular message, and that's not what the film's about, you know. The film doesn't carry this huge message in any way, really, but it does have these elements within it, mm-hmm. which are unavoidable.
Mm-hmm.
And but the there are, as you say, you know, the water plays a huge part in it, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a scene in the well where Dovan's character says about water, and Stanley says there's water everywhere.
You know?
And it has that feel about it.
Yeah, yeah.
The water is everywhere. It's cool.
It certainly affected us when we were filming it, because we were basically wet for 3 weeks.
Completely wet.
Completely wet for 3 weeks.
Apparently there were the troubles with the fact that you obviously expected it to be chitting it down most of the time, and apparently there were quite a few nice days there when you were filming it or something.
But then they're always above you with a hose ready for whenever you're drying off.
One scene. It's not going to happen. Yeah.
Really?
I had to try and stay with not much clothes on, getting hosed down by some water. It's very difficult not to flinch.
I bet. You mentioned the sort of political things, you know, in the film, because I read a review or something or an interview this morning, and it talked about the political message within the film. It didn't say what it was, and I was like, and you know, I've seen a lot of films, and I was like, oh well, I didn't pick up on anything, and I was trying to.
I think part of it is it's a part of Welsh history that maybe you only get taught about if you're in Wales.
Mm.
Basically, go and watch the film and then look up Welsh history.
Okay.
And
regarding water.
Okay, all right, I'll do that.
I don't know. No, it's hard to say.
Water places.
But equally, there's lots of people, and when my parents saw it, it went over their head too.
Okay.
And they definitely know about these things. So, but that's the thing, it doesn't really matter. It's not too much of a problem if people see the political join or not, but. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's not, you know, it certainly isn't. But there's a lot of people who've seen this film who've loved it and don't know anything about
that
particular piece of history. So, you know, it doesn't depend on that in any way whatsoever. No,
just extra flavour if you're watching it.
Yeah, but you could see it, you know, you can read into it. And some Welsh people don't even read it in, you know. Yeah. So you know, it's not something that we certainly didn't dwell upon when we were talking about it and rehearsing and filming it. Actually, we just trying to told the story that's on the page, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all we did, really. And everything else, people have read things into this that certainly I wasn't aware of, you know.
I think
when we were filming it.
I think I remember when we were filming it and we were talking about that element that Gareth, the director, went, no. I think I remember that happening.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Oh, and I think that's
worry about it.
You know, I think it's one of its strengths, really, is that there isn't any, you know, there is no message.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's one of its strengths, really, is that we've kind of avoided that issue.
I'd like to talk about the Welsh language aspect of the film. Have you guys independently, have you done a lot of Welsh language, like television or film before? Is this kind of your...
So I started in, when I was still in drama school, I did a few Welsh TV dramas and things, and then this was the first feature in Welsh language.
Yeah.
Mm. I've been very lucky. I've been doing Welsh television really since I was a little boy, so... and then it's always been a part of my working life. You know, I now live in London. I've done a lot of work in England. Most of my work now tends to be English language stuff, but Welsh language is still very important, and you know, if the work excites you, then you do it. Yeah.
Fair enough. But like, you know, working at the radio here and before, actually, as I was saying earlier, I've been made aware of a huge, massive, like an underappreciated Welsh music and Welsh language music scene as well, that's been around for like quite a while. What would you say that the Welsh language in itself like brings to this film in particular?
I think I've done quite a bit in Welsh, and I've done quite a bit of stuff that's been shot, what they call back to back. There's a series in Wales at the moment called Hinterland, and it's been shot in Welsh and English, so you shoot the same scene twice. A film we did years ago, a feature film in Wales, is called Solomon and Gaynor, and that was shot again back to back. So there's an English version and a Welsh version, and then there was a series called Mind to Kill I did, which is also again back to back. This one was shot just in Welsh, and I think that's right. You know, it sits, even though it has universal themes, it actually sits very perfectly in the Welsh language. I think, you know, and it kind of needs to be in Welsh in a strange way, without again there being any political message about the Welsh language or nationalism or of any description. But I think an English version of this would be peculiar.
Okay.
Strangely.
So it works better in
it just does. That world sits comfortably in the Welsh language.
Okay.
I think, and I'm really proud of that. That it doesn't have this. There isn't another version of this. This is it. You know, we're not. This isn't being made into an English version in order to sell into this particular market or that. It just is a Welsh film.
This is everything.
You know, and it's what it is, and it's absolutely right that it is that. It's not back to back.
Totally. I agree with that massively. Yeah. And another thing as well that I thought is that like a lot of one thing that might give like it being a sort of thriller kind of like a tense film. One thing that might the Welsh language might give to it is like with for example the Spanish zombie film Rec. Or the Killing, you know, the kind of series that have that like foreign language thing with a subtitle. It might add something. The fact that it's just in another language with subtitles, maybe some kind of suspense or something like that, that it might give to the film. Definitely works very much as its own thing with the Welsh. Don't do the English version.
People are so used to subtitles now, aren't they?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so much of this film, this is something we've talked about a lot. And it was there from the beginning, really. The first 12 pages of this film don't have a single word of dialogue. And there was a lot more dialogue in it when we got the first draft of this script. And as time went by, we cut more and more dialogue out, you know. So it doesn't rely heavily on language anyway as a film. You know, it's much more visual and character-driven than it is language-driven. And so the Welsh that's in it is really kind of required and necessary, you know, without it being overladen with.
Yeah, okay. You know. Well, like you say, the visual aspects of it carry the film in a large way as well, because it's like incredibly crisp, and it's beautiful, and like the sort of scenic nature of it's incredible as well. Yeah, and also, were we going to say?
I was going to say Richard Stoddart deserves a mention because he did. He's the DOP on it, and all the reviews have like gone mad about him. You know. he's done, an amazing job, you know, and it's small budget, you know. But in an incredible environment, you know, and he used, because his, I think one of his kind of ideas was from the beginning was that he would only use kind of natural lights, because there's no electricity in this house, so he always had to make it look like it was just candlelight or, you know, sunlight or moonlight, and because of that, it has this amazing effect on the film. You know?
Yeah, like a realism and an intimacy as well. Mm-hmm. Like I noticed with the sound design of the film as well. Like to pick an example, there's a scene where Stanley's character is eating a hard-boiled egg, and you can hear everything. Like you can hear.
That's just mad. He's just allowed to eat.
Just the way I eat.
Yeah, it's just when it's lunchtime, you go to the other table. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the cracking of the stuff.
Scraping the spoon against the egg.
I think about that every time I have a boiled egg. I think about that.
Or the rabbit as well.
When you see the skin coming off the rabbit.
Yeah.
It's graphic. Yeah. But like that with the natural light and just the kind of very natural element of it makes it very intimate, and it adds to the suspense and like the realism of that in that way. Must have been nice working there though. Stunning, like onto the visual thing, that last shot is just is stunning. Like
it's a really stunning.
That was a hard day.
That was a hard day.
The hardest to write at the end. But you know, as Anis has said this before in other interviews we've done, and it was like living in a bubble, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it really helped the film, you know. We'd have all gone back to our homes and come back each day, and there was a much bigger cast. It would have had a very different feel.
Yeah, because we all lived together as well, didn't we? Yeah. We were all in the same kind of...
And all the crew were near. Everybody was staying in cottages and, you know, very near the location. And
cool.
Yeah, it had a really... It wasn't designed like that, but that's how it had to be, because of where the location was. It was miles away from anywhere.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But that must have, like you say, must have really worked to with the relationship between the characters as well.
It just became a very, very tight-knit.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, because it is quite a challenging film and we had to work quite hard, it was really nice to have that bubble to be in, and because it was such a supportive bubble.
Yeah,
it was nice. Really nice time.
Awesome. Well, it's amazing. I love it. I think it was a lot of fun to watch this morning.
despite the
nice little shaky walk to work afterwards. But guys, thank you very much for chatting to me, guys.
Very welcome.
Have a good evening. Cheers.
See ya.
Bye. English for Everyone. Interviews and conversation in English with a native speaker.